I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
A pause in the fighting for Thanksgiving morning. Hamas are saying just in the past few hours that the pause will begin at 10 a.m. tomorrow. The Israeli government keeping the Biden administration waiting for 9 hours of talks before finally making the announcement. President Biden welcoming the statement, saying the First Lady Jill and I have been keeping all those held hostage and their loved ones close to our hearts. Coming home, around 50 of the women and children taken in the October 7th terror attacks. Three Americans are expected to be released in the first group, a senior administration official says, including three-year-old Abigail Moradan, her family hoping she'll be home for her birthday on Friday.
She's turning four, and to like just imagine that she comes home and is with her family.
That is an amazing piece of news. It was expected, and it's going to be great. Of course, here in the U.S., we will celebrate tomorrow as Thanksgiving Day, and many in Israel will also celebrate a Thanksgiving Day, not as we do here and for the reason, but because some of their loved ones are home and are safe, yet others we do not know their status or if they're going to be released or when. Now, there are going to be a series of releases over the next 4 days, according to the latest information. And apparently it will be women and children. And no one's associated with the Israeli Defense Force. So if they're a young person, they're considered to be with the Israeli Defense Force, as they're almost conscripted in Israel to serve at some point in the military. So they're not likely to let some of them go. And what's happening to them in the meantime? Keep them in your prayers. Be my best advice for you. But be thankful. Be thankful for those that are being released. But there's another side to this coin. We'll get into it in a moment. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, November 22nd, 2023. The first hour of Larry Connors, USA Back to Back. Video of the show, of course, is streaming when we're on the air with you. At Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. If you miss anything, be it video or audio, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and you can pull up any program, the video and or the audio. I know more and more of you are enjoying watching the video because it's, as you've said, it's like seeing you back on TV, but now you can say what you want to. I always could say what I wanted to, but as a news anchor, there were limits that I put on myself because that's the way journalism should be. You should not know any bias or tendencies I have toward a particular side as a news anchor, contrary to what we're seeing practiced in today's world, right? And on the details of the deal that are coming out so far, and I told you yesterday that some premature sick babies had already been released by Hamas, and they're getting treatment in Egypt after the Al-Shifa hospital was evacuated. So the hostage deal being announced as officially today, and then tomorrow morning on our Thanksgiving Day, and of course they're hours ahead of us, they will begin releasing some of these hostages. They had been in tough negotiations for a period of time, and for a time it was not sure it really was going to be done, because until it is done, it's not done. And anything, and keep in mind, anything at any moment could suddenly change the dynamics. You were listening to that opening report from NBC News. I want to go back to them as they added more details.
President Biden thanking mediators in Qatar and Egypt and Israel's prime minister, who pushed through the deal in a tense government meeting where he insisted a brief truce would not end the war. And just yesterday, fierce fighting. 250 airstrikes, Israel says, ahead of the initial four-day humanitarian pause starting tomorrow. In exchange for 50 hostages, 150 Palestinian prisoners, including some women and teenagers, will be released by Israel. The Red Cross will be given access to the hostages still held, while humanitarian aid will get to the people of Gaza, 300 to 400 trucks a day and fuel. The biggest diplomatic breakthrough since 1,200 were murdered on October 7th, and according to the Hamas-run health ministry, more than 14,000 killed in Gaza.
14,000 killed in Gaza, many of them, of course, innocent victims, women and children and men, who had nothing to do with Hamas. But keep in mind, Hamas was using them as shields, thinking the Israelis will not attack this position because it's a hospital. It's a relief center. It is a children's school. It's an apartment complex. That was not the intent of Israel to go hit those spots, but in some cases to get to the command post that their intel indicated was there and the leaders that were there. That was the option. Now, of course, as they began to get closer into the action, more ground forces in a place, then they could try other means. And that's why when they entered Al-Shifa Hospital the other day, they were going through floor by floor looking for any Hamas still remaining inside. And in fact, they encountered some, and there was a shootout, and the Hamas were killed. But then they were getting patients to safety. So then they could go in and dig into those tunnels, break into them if necessary, or find the openings for them, and go into the tunnels. And in the midst of those tunnels, there are booby traps. A week ago, I told you about four Israeli soldiers all killed in one tunnel booby trap. So it's not going to be easy. Now, regarding the negotiations, Israel also, or rather Hamas, had initially demanded that any overhead surveillance stop for the multi-pause in fighting. They don't want any drones. They don't want anything above them that might be detecting where they're moving people and equipment. Of course, if they're down the tunnels, we might not have that kind of knowledge, but if they're moving anything above ground, we would see. So under the current agreement, they finally settled on surveillance drones vacating the airspace for part of each day. That'll be a six-hour window, which would then would allow Hamas to move hostages and or equipment or their own forces to different locations. But we've agreed that we won't use the drones, but we have another option. I'll come to that in a moment. Also under this agreement, Hamas admitted it would not gather any additional women and children as hostages during this period that the fighting is paused. In other words, they will not try to go back into Israel and grab more hostages. You might have thought they wouldn't be doing that. If they can, they will. And even if they die in the process, they don't care. And they don't care if the Israeli hostages that they're trying to grab end up dying. Nor do they care about more Palestinians dying. It's all part of their propaganda machine. In fact, General Jack King, four-star general, retired, now serving as an analyst for Fox News, was talking about what you're really going to see Hamas doing during this time.
They'll do everything they can to cheat on this, the so-called no-fly zone that they want for 6 hours is the obvious. They want to be repositioning and do other things in terms of rearming, reorganizing, etc. During that time frame, the Israelis have comprehensive intelligence, and so do we, in terms of satellites and other things that we can put up at much higher altitude to give them some assistance in doing this.
So again, we have satellite surveillance, and there's no way for them to know if we're watching them or not, but they should assume we are. So no drones will be over the skies for 6 hours, but our satellite intel, along with Israeli satellite, we will be able to gather additional information, which is good. Now, Dan Hoffman is a former CIA chief, and he says the same thing about what Hamas is going to be doing during this truce.
They're going to get a short truce. It's going to set back Israeli military operations for a few days. It'll allow the Hamas terrorist fighters perhaps to rearm and to move to locations where Israel will have to find them again and fix their locations. And that's what Hamas wants. There's two wars being fought here. One is the kinetic war, which Israel is winning, but at a cost in terms of civilian casualties. And then there's an information war, which Hamas, with Iran's assistance and diplomatic top cover, particularly from China, is winning.
Yeah, that propaganda war is winning on our leftist college universities and campuses. And the leftists continue inside Congress proclaiming PLO, PLO, when they're really saying we support Hamas and what they're doing. And some of them have flat come out and said that, basically. And among the rallies that they had in D.C. and then in Delaware at President Biden's home, the PLO groups that were gathering, there were Hamas flags being flown. Many were wearing green scarves across their forehead, like Hamas fighters are, and putting out signs like, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, which is to destroy Israel and all Jews. So the propaganda war, they continue to get support, and they get support in this country from the state-controlled media. Some call mainstream, I say state-controlled. Obviously, it's not really state-controlled, but in my view, it might as well be. Again, back to four-star retired General Jack King and his view of Hamas.
Diabolical, pathological killers, as you said. And, you know, there's no reason or rationale in dealing with people like that are so barbaric and so morally corrupt. You know, they have no moral compass whatsoever to guide them. But here's where we are. I mean, the Israelis knew that this day would come, certainly, because what made this attack so different than the Hamas attacks from the past is the focus on civilians. The civilians in the 22 communities that they attacked, there were a number of military bases, smaller ones in the area. But the focus was really on the civilians, and then the taking of large group of hostages, something they've never done before. So the Israelis knew what was the purpose of the hostages. At some point, to trade hostages to buy time.
And that's what they're doing at this point. Mossab Youssef is the son of a Hamas co-founder. We've had interviews on the air with him before for you. He was at the United Nations to denounce Hamas and point out that their goal is to destroy Israel.
Today, I can speak on the authority of a Palestinian child, someone who grew up in that culture. Hamas' first crime against children in the Palestinian societies is not arming them or encouraging them to carry suicide bombing attacks. It's the religious, ideological indoctrination that I had to go through. With one intention in mind, to annihilate the state of Israel. This is Hamas' primary goal.
Primary goal, annihilate Israel on all Jews. Youssef had actually stepped away from his father. Mossab Youssef is his full name, which, again, his father was a co-founder. But he began to see this is not the way life should be. And for a period of time, he was in with Hamas, but then he stepped away, and then he became a Christian. He also became known as the Green Prince. He actually ended up writing a book with that title. Palestinian, who then began to work undercover with Israel's internal security service, Shin Bet, from 1997 to 2007. And he tells a story of, here's how they treat children.
Hamas is committing a crime against this generation and the next generations to come. So blaming Israel is not going to solve the problem. Imagine a 10-year-old child. When I disobeyed Hamas, I was tied up to a post and I was whipped by Hamas top leader, and I don't want to mention his name because he's not worthy, with the electric cable. Every lash, I lost my breath. Until I lost my consciousness. My father was in prison at that time. And this leader thought that he was my mentor. This is Hamas discipline. This is how they wanted me to be. To become a violent savage like them.
So all of you young leftists out there who think you have found a new calling, a new cause, and I see a majority of you, according to the polls, are going to vote against Biden because you think he is helping Israel, and you don't want Israel to be helped. You want to support Hamas and women even becoming Muslim. Do you hear now and understand what you'd be facing? Maybe you don't. General Jack King again pointing out what Hamas was doing with this last attack on October 7.
What was the purpose of the hostages? At some point, to trade hostages to buy time, to delay Israel's operation against Hamas, to slow it down, and also to impede it to a point where it cannot succeed. Mm-hmm. I don't think they knew for a minute, Hamas that is, that Israel's military aim here by the national leadership was to dismantle Hamas completely. That has never been a military aim in the past. Yeah. So I think we'll also see other tranches here, again, slowing down the offensive. And then the final thing, I believe they'll hold on to hostages to protect the regime. So it actually lives on, and they'll be able to declare a victory against the Israelis.
Oh, yeah, and that's very likely, because they will look for more opportunities to make themselves bigger and use that propaganda machine. They're already working. It's working at our leftist universities and colleges. They're getting their point across. They've got students rallying and marching, waving PLO flags, Hamas flags, young women deciding to study the Quran and become Muslim. They have no idea what they're getting into, because they would be basically subject to every man, even subject to their own son. And if you believe in LGBT rights, you're executed. In our next hour, Republicans voted against impeaching Mayorkas, some of them. California Congressman Issa is going to explain why he did it. Will you believe him and accept his reasoning? And before this hour is over, marking this date in history 60 years ago, the assassination of JFK. Coming up next, a man who ran for California governor. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Planning a party with family, friends, maybe a business party. Cafe Napoli has four locations, and each has rooms to fit your needs. But a word to the wise, book early. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. Also get some Cafe Napoli gift cards, good for all locations, anytime. I'll see you at Cafe Napoli.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today. 314-441-4444. 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch. From Stone Ledge Distillery.
Roxanne, you don't have to go on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to go on the red light. Roxanne.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We all know and have seen the shadow campaign that Governor Gavin Newsom is running against Biden. Not really saying I'm running against Biden. Not going to primary him. Not saying it directly, but he's right there in the shadows just in case Biden should stumble or someone push him at the right time. My next guest is very familiar with Gavin Newsom and how what he's done to California. In fact, he has out a book titled, you'll love this, The Newsom Nightmare: The California Catastrophe, and How to Reform Our Broken System. Welcoming aboard former GOP California governor candidate, John H. Cox. John, welcome aboard.
Great to be with you, Larry. Thank you.
So we watch from a distance, those of us who do not live in California. And first of all, ask, why the hell is anybody still living there? And a lot of them are getting out. It's a beautiful state, beautiful seaside, a lot of good things about it, and yet, not so.
Larry, you know, Mr. Newsom has screwed up everything in this state except the weather and the natural beauty.
Yeah.
So,
well, the natural beauty's been ruined in San Fran because it's filled with feces and urine now.
Well, but you got a beautiful ocean and you got great mountains.
Right.
And the desert is beautiful and forests and just absolute wonderful natural beauty. Beyond the streets of San Francisco or Los Angeles, for that matter.
Right. So,
but you know, Gavin Newsom is the epitome, Larry, of a politician who uses the special interest money and hands over the state to those special interests. And then, of course, he also is expert at manipulating the media. He's all about abortion and gun control and all the hot button issues. At the same time, Californians have a homelessness problem that is an epidemic, shortages of housing, water, and energy, an education system we spend $100 billion on, and the results are worse than Mississippi, crime going up, the highest taxes in the country, the highest budget per capita in the country, a huge pension underfunding, wildfires that threaten us everywhere. I mean, it's hard to mention any aspect of life that is, you know, somewhat the responsibility of the government that isn't messed up in the state. But you can get an abortion on almost every street corner, and
or transgender, or transgender surgery for kids without parental permission.
Well, guess what? You know, the schools aren't even allowed to tell you. If you, if your 8-year-old or your 10-year-old in the public school says, "Gee, I think I'm a boy," and she's really a girl biologically, the teachers are actually barred from saying anything to the parents.
John, let me ask you something.
Crazy.
They can't all be drinking the same Kool-Aid. Are they afraid to speak out, or what?
Here's what it is. It's a mutual profit society out here, Larry. And what I mean by that is that these groups, the LGBT groups, the radical environmentalists, the trial lawyers, and of course the kingpins, which are the public sector unions, which, as you know, from Missouri and Illinois and every place else, those unions have dues that are just a gusher of money that comes in every year. And of course, what they do, Larry, with this, is they use it to basically buy the legislature and buy politicians like Gavin Newsom, and they kind of link arms and get all these policies the way they want them to be, but the rest of us then have to live with the consequences.
And also those union leaders are spending money on cases that the members really don't want their money spent on.
Well, the leaders enjoy the power. I mean, who doesn't like power, right? I mean, power is, it goes back to the history of the world, right? I mean, we had pharaohs and kings and all kinds of people that just wanted power, and that's what this is all about. The trouble is that we have a constitution that actually gives power to the people. The trouble is we don't have a structure now because of the media age and because all the money that is necessary, we don't have that power. And that's what my book also talks about, Larry, is I'm not only talking about the problems of California, I'm proposing a solution that puts power back in the people and takes it away from these unions and trial lawyers.
All right, before we get into that, I do want to touch on that because I don't want to just deal with the issues. I want to deal with the possible solutions. But at one point in your book, and again, you're listening, John H. Cox, he ran as a Republican candidate for California governor. Good luck in California doing that, although it's been done before. But
it has been.
But the book he's written is The Newsom Nightmare. They're living it. We're watching it. The California catastrophe and how to reform our broken system. I'll come to that part in a moment. But you're basically saying in many ways, or let me ask, is it true that as California goes, so goes the rest of the nation?
Well, let's put it this way. You know, the media, to a large extent, is based out here. The entertainment industry is huge. Obviously, over the last several decades, Silicon Valley has accumulated incredible wealth, which gives them power not only in America, but around the world. So, yes, California has, which is great, by the way. I mean, think about it. If you're a smart, smart guy or girl and you want to start a technology company, you kind of want to live in the place where the best weather is, right?
Sure.
California has that. We also have great medical care, I might add, too, because, you know, San Diego, which is where I live, has one of the top biotech industries, Illumina,
and I distinctly remember Marine boot camp, but go ahead.
Of course, we have a great military out there with Pendleton and Miramar, but the point is, you know, we deserve better in terms of our leadership, and you're right, California leads the nation in terms of economics and culture, but the trouble is we export that to the rest of the country, and the worst thing to do would be to export Gavin Newsom to Pennsylvania Avenue that would mean the rest of the country.
You would have to write a new book on the Newsom National Nightmare. Now, let me get in on a couple of points here, sir. The book is, the whole subject is fascinating. I just like a view from you in California, because I know you've had friends who have like thoughts and so forth. You may or may not disagree on some things, but what was the general premise and the idea and response when they saw all these drug addicts and feces and urine up and down the streets of San Francisco, and yet when the communist Chinese president comes to town, there are China communist flags everywhere, like it's little Beijing, and the streets are cleared of all this, which says they've always had the money and the opportunity and the manpower to clean the streets, but they didn't do it for the taxpayers.
And it's kind of funny, Larry, because both newspapers in California, the major ones anyway, the San Francisco Chronicle and the Los Angeles Times, even my local San Diego Union Tribune, which is also pretty liberal, you know, they really love Newsom, basically endorsed him, you know, in my race anyway. But they even said to them, to their readers, what the heck's going on here? You tell us that you have this intractable problem, and then you clean it up all of a sudden for a visiting dignitary.
A communist dignitary.
A visiting communist dignitary who abuses the human rights and privileges of his own people, and then is kind of celebrated when he comes here. You know, Larry, it's the same piece, you know, and that is this leadership in this state is not responsive to the people. They're responsive to their masters, which are these funding groups and the big media. And that's what the book is about, and that's what the solution.
All right, Let's get to the solution. It's almost like Dr. Heal Thyself First. I mean, what can be done in California that would then be replicated across the nation would make everything better?
We've got to get media and money out. Now, how do you do that? My solution is to start with the U.S. Congress. And the U.S. Congress, you know, is divided into 435 districts nationwide. Congress itself is the one that limited it to 435. That means, Larry, every district is 750,000 people. And in today's day and age, with the cost of media, you need millions of dollars. And it's all about the media. The media is empowered. No offense to friendly company.
No, I understand. And your representatives in the House of Congress were number 30 plus. You actually did lose one due to last census, but still outnumber any others.
No question. So here's the answer. The answer is to get the media and the money out of it. How do you do that? You subdivide each of these congressional districts into 100 sub-districts. So each district's only 7,500 people. It's a few thousand households. Each of those districts has a little election, and they elect a representative. Those 100 people then decide I'm the one person to go to Washington. The other 99 stay home. What does this do? It makes every campaign for Congress tiny. You go door to door. You meet people at school or you know, at the local church. You have town hall meetings. You don't buy major media. You don't spend millions on social media. You actually meet your representative. You actually get to talk to somebody. And those 100 people that are elected in the sub-districts have then some accountability over that person that goes to Washington.
All right.
It's far greater than the system we have now.
I'm sorry, sir. We're coming up against a hard break, but very quickly, your thoughts in the scheduled upcoming debate between Newsom and Governor Ron DeSantis November 30th.
It's going to be a great opportunity to demonstrate policies of red states versus the blue states. Newsom and his ilk are all about empowering government, socialism, really. It's soft socialism. They don't call it socialism, but it really truly is. It's empowering government. Ron DeSantis and his group, I think, are more inclined to give power to the people.
All right.
It's demonstrated that socialism doesn't work. As Ronald Reagan says, they don't have socialism in heaven where they don't need it.
Nope.
And they already have it in hell.
Where they do. John H. Cox, we'll have to book you again for a future interview. Thank you, sir.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation. I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers has the hottest gift for the holidays. Flexible bracelets. Quality, beauty, starting at just $150. And, of course, you'll want to check for rings, pendants, maybe watches. I suggest you check the website each day for new items and specials. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Vincent's, my only jeweler.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And our last interview was fascinating. If you didn't get a chance to hear all of it, the interview with John H. Cox, a former candidate, Republican candidate for California governor, I encourage you to pull it up and listen again. Share it with friends, will you? And in fact, always, when it comes to pulling up our podcast, either audio and or video, share with others. Get the word out. And subscribe. It's very simple. You simply push the subscribe button. The material goes direct to your email box. You open it when you're ready and makes it easier to get it than running through other operations. Now, the book he had, I did not get a chance to restate for you, so let me do that. This is John H. Cox, former candidate for California governor. It was titled, the book is titled, I should say, The Newsom Nightmare. I think we can all quickly understand that part of it. And then The Newsom Nightmare, The California Catastrophe, and How to Reform Our Broken System. We did not get enough time to deal with dealing with a broken system as I would have liked, but you got the idea that you've got to be involved. Too many are just, I know people, I've heard it constantly. I don't even want to talk politics. I'm tired of it. I don't want to deal with it. May I say something to you, very direct, and if I tick you off, so be it. If you do not cast a vote, I don't care who you decide to vote for, that's your decision. But if you don't cast a vote in any election, and then later you complain, I don't want to hear your complaints. You don't have a right to complain. And let me assure you again what happened when Hillary ran against Donald Trump on something. A lot of folks didn't like either candidate. Trump, as I have said repeatedly, was not my first, second, or third choice among the other Republicans that were running in the primary. Cruz was at the top of my list, then Rubio and a couple other options, but not Trump. But then it became Trump standing alone. And then it was against him and Hillary Benghazi Clinton. Yeah, you're right. I remember Benghazi. I'm not ever going to let her forget it. She can stand in front of Congress every day and say, what the hell difference does it make now? We lost Americans because you could not make up your mind what to do, and you failed them and your nation. But the more important thing is, who was going to have authority to appoint federal judges, not just at all levels of federal government, but especially the U.S. Supreme Court? Ruth Bader Ginsburg was asked, basically nudged repeatedly by Barack Obama, hey, Ruth, why don't you just go home and lay down for a while? We'll take it from here. Well, I got somebody. And he was going to appoint, by the way, Merrick Garland. You remember that? Our current Attorney General, mealy-mouthed Merrick Garland. Would you want him on the U.S. Supreme Court? Give me a phone break. That's how important that election was. And then Trump ends up not only getting to appoint one, he ends up appointing three. Now, here's the real kicker. Now, if you were pro-abortion, you're not going to like it. Pro-lifers, we love it. Because those three appointments he made were all on the court. When the Roe v. Wade decision came up for review, and they declared that in the Constitution, there is no such thing as abortion. You cannot use the 14th Amendment as a possibility. It is no longer, quote, law of the land. It was law of the land only because the leftists had declared it to be that. So now it's back to the states to make their decisions. And if you live in a state and it's all about abortion right up to the moment of birth, and you're not out there campaigning and speaking against it and voting against it and the people that represent it, shame on you. Now, if you support that stuff, go ahead and support it. You're entitled to do what you want. But I will remind you of this. How many women, they go out there and cry out, it's my body, I can do what I want. It's my choice. No man's choice, my choice. How many women have been killed by abortion? Those women are never going to get the choice you have. Then aside from that, it's simply the sanctity of life. Now, we're talking to former governor candidate for the GOP nomination, John H. Cox for California. And, of course, the upcoming debate scheduled between Gavin Newsom and DeSantis of Florida, November 30th. I'm looking at a piece here titled, in from Breitbart, by the way, Trouble in Paradise, erupting among DeSantis backers. Tempers were flaring among some of them as they're trying to find a way to beat Donald Trump. He's still running away with it. Leaders of the pro-DeSantis Never Back Down Super PAC, that's what it's called, DeSantis Never Back Down Super PAC, met back in early November to discuss the situation for DeSantis, and also as former South Carolina Governor Haley was ramping up her efforts in Iowa and New Hampshire, dropping something like $10 million in hopes of improving her standing in the polls. Trump, of course, is still way out ahead. The latest Real Clear Politics average shows Haley leading DeSantis in both South Carolina and New Hampshire, gaining on DeSantis in the Hawkeye State, which is where the DeSantis campaign has been spending a lot of money lately. In this meeting of Never Back Down leaders, they were talking about how fast Haley is rising. NBC News said the meeting erupted into a heated argument with longtime DeSantis confidant Scott Wagner, while a group of 9 board members and senior staff were discussing budgets. And at one point, the Never Back Down chief, referring to Wagner, again, who is a confidant of DeSantis, said, you have a stick up your ass, Scott. That's pretty direct. And if they're breaking apart inside the DeSantis campaign, how are they going to hold forward, moving forward? By the way, we told you yesterday about the Sunday election that put Javier Milei as the new president of Argentina. We told you that Trump quickly congratulated him and added, "Make Argentina great again." He's got a lot of work to do. The peso in Argentina, equivalent to $1, the peso is 0.0028. You're going to have 3,000 plus of them for $1. He wants to move this country to the U.S. dollar, which means, therefore, the government won't be able to just print its own money when it chooses to. And he kind of wants to separate. He said, "I'm a liberal, but not liberal in the sense many of Americans might think it. And at the same time, I'm anti-abortion. And I don't see why we need a ministry of women. If we're going to be actually equal, we also would need a ministry of men. So I'm stripping that off. We're not going to have a ministry of women." And in Argentina currently, transgenders pay lower taxes. Well, I'd declare to be a transgender if you get away with that. And he wants to kind of make Argentina stand on its own feet again. But it has relations it has to maintain, one of them being China. And China is warning Milei, and the statement can't be denied, "Your country is too poor to cut ties with us." China's not doing really that great economically either. Oh, the leaders are doing fine, and what money they want to send the military, they've got that, but for the people, they're not doing well. Reports of mass starvation, and of course, the enslavement of Uyghur Muslims or anyone else who dares speak out. But the statement can't be denied. China is richer than Argentina and saying, there is no way you can cut ties with us. You're just too poor. In fact, breaking that story down for you in more detail, the Chinese state media commentators declare that it is impossible for Argentina to cut ties with Beijing. Now, Milei has already said he's not going to promote cooperation with the Communist Party. He wants more civilized nations, the U.S. of A., and so forth. Well, under the current president, the Argentina has already dramatically been increasing cooperation with China, Russia, and Iran. They were moving down that Marxist-Communist road as fast as they could. Milei winning with something like 55%+ of the vote. Said, "We're going to change it." And he says the guy that was leading us is a corrupt communist himself, so we're going to get rid of that. Others are saying, no, no, he's just a big, and he does have a massive head of hair. I might be speaking from jealousy here. But others are calling him just kind of, you know, he's all talk. We'll see what he does. Well, we do need to see what he does. But the response from different media outlets elsewhere, one is that, one, they didn't think he was going to win, and already comparing him to Donald Trump, the New York Times. In other words, saying, you don't want this. Well, they did. And one French newspaper declaring, we're going to call him El Loco. No surprise there, right? All right, this date is marked forever in history. November the 22nd, the assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C, the Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The motorcade came down Houston Street and then made this sharp turn onto Elm, and it was just as they cleared those trees that the assassination started.
President John F. Kennedy's assassination was an earthquake in American life. A Pew poll found it is still viewed as a top three historic event by Americans over 60 years old. Stephen Fagan, the curator for the Sixth Floor Museum in Dallas, says Kennedy's life and death represented something new for the U.S.
They were really political royalty in the United States. So to have this young man cut down in such a violent fashion, captured on film and in photographs, it had a devastating effect on the nation and the world.
And that may be why the story of his death has never quite satisfied most Americans.
You know, Gallup has done polling going all the way back to 1963, asking people, do you believe in a Kennedy assassination conspiracy? There's actually never been a moment when less than 50% of the American public did not believe in a conspiracy.
That is a report by NewsScript News Operation. And there are still people who don't believe there was one shooter, Lee Harvey Oswald. We talked about this to a large extent yesterday. Shame on you if you missed yesterday's program, but I have an option for you. You can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, pull up that program, and listen to what we had to say then about a documentary coming out involving seven doctors talking for the first time and saying the autopsy and the way we saw Kennedy at Parkland Hospital. When we saw the autopsy video that was presented from Bethesda, it did not match what we saw. And, of course, they were trying to determine when someone is shot, there's normally not only an entrance wound but an exit wound. If you recall in the video, if you've seen it at all of JFK, he's moving forward. You don't know if the head is it, but he's clutching at his throat. Now, you break it down frame by frame, you might see the hair moved behind him, and then he's grabbing his throat. But one of the doctors had made some reference to the entrance wound at the neck, suggesting he was shot through the neck and the bullet went out the back of the head. No way Oswald could have done that from a sixth-floor level to have that angle of a shot. But a Secret Service agent, according to the new documentary coming out, later talks to that doctor and says, according to someone else who witnessed it, who passed away not too long ago, the agent said, don't ever again talk about that entrance wound. Kind of a veiled threat. PBS has out a documentary they're just releasing, and for the first time, an interview with Secret Service agent Clint Hill. If you've seen the video at all, you know when the shooting takes place, one of the agents rushes forward, jumps onto the back of the car. If you look at the car before the shot, you'll see handles attached to the back of the car. He was grabbing those, trying to get on. Jacqueline Kennedy reaching back to try to grab him, get him in. Again, Clint Hill was the guy, and he's never really talked about it. He was assigned to First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy in 1960. He said previously he was with Eisenhower, and he'd refer to us as agents, just, hey, agent. He said with John and Jacqueline Kennedy, they knew your first name. They knew if you were married, if you had children. And he said President John Kennedy would stop and talk to you. So we had an utmost respect for him. And the day of the assassination, doing his normal thing, by the time he said we got to the street, we saw people everywhere. And then immediately he said, I didn't think at first the noise I heard was a gunshot. I thought a firecracker. But when I saw the president's reaction, throwing his hands to his throat, falling to his left, I ran to the follow-up car and jumped on the back. Was just an agent. Now he is the agent. You don't want to miss our second hour today. I remember our pledge, one nation under God.